Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you for coming, especially in this Florida weather. Downpours, it's been raining for like a good week, some sun in between. If you're thinking of making a vacation in Florida, just check the weather. It's pretty busy over here, so I'm not sure you'd be able to get a place anyway. But welcome, everyone, to this week's share. This week's share is sponsored by the Lichtman family, Zeicha Nishmas, Moshe Baruch Ben Chaim Elazar. This is Mr. Harvey Lichtman's father's 23rd yahrzeit, the Neshama Shehav and Aliyah. Today's share is hopefully is a pretty relevant topic. Called Parsha Pileup. Does one need to make up Kriya Satara? And this might be something that's been on the minds of many people for a while, and probably with across the country, shuls and minyanim starting to open up, it's become a real practical shaila that took place this past Shabbos for many people, for some even Shabbosim previous to this, and for some, Be'ez Hashem, in a future Shabbos. And before I go into this topic itself, I think there's a general introduction that I should make. You know, Baruch Hashem, In the fact that, in general, the numbers are going down across the country during this pandemic, and it seems there's some degree of a reprieve, of a light at the end of the tunnel, which people are desperately grasping for at these times. And there are many people that are very excited and fervent and jumping, you know, at the opportunity to go back to shul and daven with a minyan, or you could have a minyan outside. I think it's, firstly, this year in no way is discussing that topic. That topic itself is a very, very heavy shaila, not pashat. And I've read through different communities' letters from the Rabbanim talking about whether to open shul, not open the shul, all that. But I think there's a very, very important disclaimer and message, which I didn't necessarily see in every letter. I found the Vada Rabbanim of Queens specified this point, which I think is an important point, is whatever the practical halacha is for each individual, when to resume davening. Whatever that practical halacha is, hopefully figure it out in guidance with one's rav, who understands the community, understands the person's situation. But there shouldn't feel like a certain pressure that everyone has to go back to shul. Of course, obviously, davening with a minyan is of great significance, of great importance. But l'maisa, at the same time, everyone has different perspectives on this topic, and even more so than the perspectives, different people have different health conditions. And some health conditions are known to others, and there are many people that have health conditions, health issues, which are not public knowledge. And the concept of, hey, Moish, come on, I didn't see you at shul this morning. Like, people have to be extremely delicate and sensitive. And there shouldn't be any pressure, you know, oh, we need you for a minyan, come on. That type of attitude is quite dangerous in such a thing. And you don't, chas v'shalom, want to push somebody who's really not up to, not ready to go back, to push that person to go back. I think that's a very important caveat that should be emphasized. You know, sometimes there's a frum yetzahara. Oh, You know, if you're going back to shul, you must be doing the right thing. Every person, ish, has to be in consultation with the Rav and to figure out what the right thing is for them. Usually, you know, in the firm community, there are certain things, especially if you live in a big firm community, there are things, societal pressure. Everyone, Baruch Hashem, davens, you have communities, Baruch Hashem, everybody learns. But in this era, during this time, with the pandemic, it really has to be each individual doing what's right for them. And there shouldn't be an applied pressure in any way. Sometimes not even said, it's just the fact, the shul is opening, and this, you know. Chaval, if you're sick, if you're older than a certain age, you can't come. But it should really be broader than that and clearer than that, that there's no pressure whatsoever on anyone to come back to shul. The Maisa, in this topic itself, you know, we entitle it, you know, Parsha Pileup, and we're going to most significantly talk about Kriya Satora, but it's the dynamics of what's going on is quite interesting. For the most part, till the past couple of weeks, Klal Yisrael has been united. That we're in a tekufa, we're in a time where Rabbanim across the board, whether you live in Teaneck or Lakewood, Boston or Brooklyn, if you daven Havarat Svardit or Litvisha or Haimisha Bacher, everyone across the board, yeshivas, bat midrashim, have been closed. And that itself, that we've had a united message through all the Rabbanim throughout Klal Yisrael, I think is a tremendously powerful thing, and that's what helped Pashta save lives in this pandemic. But Lamaisa, as Baruch Hashem, the situation gets better, so there are different standards for waking up, for starting up shul. And you know, you put out a standard, I'm going to put out a whole different standard. And each shul and each rav and each community is doing different things. So that itself, we're going from a community totally united to a community divided. Different shitas, different poskim. And there are many shailas, right? Firstly, the one daven with the minion or not. If the shul has a minion, are you going to do the minion inside the shul, outside the shul? Nogea to what we're going to talk about today, the parshios. Are we making up the parshios or not? Is that something we view that one should be doing? And even if we are making up the parshios, how are we going about doing it? Just to give, I'm not getting into the whole sugya of losses go to do, but really there's a tricky thing in Klal Yisrael, Isser in the Torah called losses go to do. Losasu agudos agudos, that it's very important that Klal Yisrael should be unified. Now, Ashkenazim could have a minhagim, Sephardim could have a minhagim. You have to know when losses go to do applies. You know, for example, the one minhag issue, a minhagah issue, is putting on tefillin on Chol Moed. So really, the ideal halacha, without going into specifics, is a shul should not have a mixed minyan where some people are putting on tefillin, some people aren't putting on tefillin. That simply is a case of losses go to do. But again, I'm not saying there are situations losses go to do, but just applying the concept. We have right now, you have some shuls. In the main shul, they're laning three parshios this past week. In the side shul, they're laning 13 parshios this past week. Some shuls, where do you get these numbers? Three parshios, 13 parshios. Some shuls are doing just one parsha, they just lane Bamidbar. Some are doing numbers, we'll do two this week, three next week. Where does this come from? And It definitely looks funny, all these different approaches for this issue. You know, if assuming that one stopped going to shul, which I think was the week which changed in general for Klal Yisrael. There were some communities that shut the week before, but I'll base it here in Florida. Shul shut down the week of Parshas Vayakel Pekudei. So if you go from Vayakel Pekudei till the earliest time shuls officially, Rabbanim opened up shuls, was this past Shabbos. A couple of shuls in the neighborhood opened. So if you go from Vayakel Pekudei through this past week's Parsha, through Bamidbar, there's a 13 Parshios. Yaakov, Kudei, Ikra, Tzav, Shmini, Tazria, Mitzorah, Achri, Mos, Kedoshim, Emor, Bahar, Bechukosai, Bamidbar. 13 Parshios. So that obviously is a lot if one would make up. But there were some shuls that had 13 Parshios laid this past Shabbos. Some that did three, some did different variations of it, some that did one. I hope in today's share to come to explain the reasonings behind most of these opinions. Can't say I could explain all opinions, but definitely most opinions. We'll try to explain where it's coming from and really get into this topic of making up parshas. Now, in Shulchan Aruch, where is the source that one, this idea of making up parshios? So it's Halacha, Arachayim, Simon Kuf Lamed He. If you look in the Ramah and Sif Beis, he writes, in Bitlu Shabbos Achas, if there's one Shabbos, which it was Batal, there was no laning in Shul. The Mevatal Kriyas Aparsha B'Tzibur, the Shabbos Haba, following Shabbos, Konos Oparsha, Ima Parsha Ashaych Losha Shabbos. In the following week, you read that Parsha together with Parsha you missed, together with the current week's Parshas. That's what the Ramah says. And off the bat, a few qualifications on this halacha. The Bir Halacha right over there says that this only applies to Shabbos, not to weekday laning, just when it comes to Shabbos. And the reasoning behind it is only Shabbos has this potential of making up, but the lanings that are done in Chabad Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, so people bring down Yom Tov laning, all those don't have a makeup. Once a person missed it, it's over. So really the whole concept we're talking about, we're only talking about, as mentioned, let's call it these 13 parshios making up, but not any other kriyas. Also Kol Shekein, not any haftorahs. Now, I did find an interesting thing, not as fun as any other sefer, in the Sefer Masoros Moshe from Ramosha, about Rav Moshe Feinstein. So Chelek Beis, his grandson, writes that when Rav Moshe was in the hospital later in life, the grandson saw him on Mondays and Thursdays after reciting Tachnun. He would flip to the back of his sitter and he'd read that day's Kriya. So now, this is not, doesn't, from the story, just says his observations. Didn't ask his grandfather what he was doing, so therefore it does carry a little bit less significance in here. But Pashtos, I believe you see two things from the story. Firstly, you see, even though it's the famous Bir Halacha that there's no makeup for these parshios, but for parshios laying the Mondays and Thursdays, but there's still some type of inyan. And partially the fact that Moshe Feinstein was doing that right after Tachlin, and that point of davening, he wasn't just doing Shnayim Mikra that day. You know, it seems what he was doing was trying to read what normally be if he would be in shul. So even though halachically the Bir Halacha says there's no chiyuv to do such a thing, but there's some inyan that Moshe's grandson could testify he saw Moshe do. Additionally, you see a point, which we'll get to later, others say, is even in a scenario where you can't hear laning, there is still a concept. Again, is it worth laning? No. Is it a makeup for laning? No. But there is a concept of reading the Parsha from a plain Chumash. You yourself at home, to the best of your ability, just reading the Parsha in the Chumash. We'll see. Shlomo Zalman, I found later, also writes out the Farish, something to do when someone misses laning. You know, something I've been doing the past few weeks, trying to read through the Parshios, the Haftorah. There is something to that. So even though you're not being a kind of mitzvah of Kriyas Torah through that, but there's still an inyan. The final Moshe did it, and we'll see soon that Shlomo Zalman also recommended it. So that's one qualification. It's interesting when the Ramah writes, if one missed the Parsha, when does one make it up? So he talked about making it up on the following Shabbos. So that seems that the only time to do it is next week. So the Chafetz Chaim and the Mishnah Berurah qualifies, no, there is another time to do it. Let's say a shul didn't have a Sefer Torah for Shabbos morning for Shachris. So they weren't able to lane. That's an example of it. Sibur, you had a minyan, they were all there. And unfortunately, they didn't have a Sefer Torah. But by Mincha, they got one. So Chafetz Chaim writes, what you could do then is lane the entire Parsha by Mincha. You could lane the whole thing by Mincha. What's very interesting is not only would you lane the entire Parsha by Mincha, you would even call up seven aliyahs, just like a regular Shabbos morning. You would do that at Mincha time. And the reasoning the Chafetz Chaim writes is really the whole day of Shabbos is not dafka limited to Shachris. The whole day of Shabbos, one could do the Kriyas HaTorah with seven aliyahs. Quite amazing. Don't know if you ever saw that, but it's good halacha to have in your back pocket. You never know what happens in situations. But you could always make up that week's laning at Mincha, and you could even would even call seven aliyahs. What's the procedure any time that you're making up lost a parsha that one missed? So the Chafetz Chaim writes it later in the Mishnah Berurah. On the sheets, Sivkotam Ches, that first you read last week's Parsha, and only after you read last week's Parsha, then you read this week's Parsha. Why does one do it like that, even though this week, more practical than the one you're, the beginning one you're supposed to read is this week's Parsha, maybe that should come first. So, Chafetz Chaim explains no, that we read the Parshios. Ideally, we read the Parshios in the order that they were written. So, therefore, the best way to do it is first read the previous Parsha one missed, and then make up, and then read, this week's Parsha. Okay? Those are just some basic halachas about making a Parshios, and you know these cases come up. You have situations. People, Chas Shalom, could be sick, missed it. Okay, that'll be an individual missing it. You could have situations. You know, really have a lot of people missing. People traveling between Eretz Yisrael and America, especially. You know, a perfect example, someone would be in Eretz Yisrael for Shulis. Somehow he gets on a flight and is able to be there. And then he comes back to America afterwards. So this year, the way the Yom Tov falls out for Shulis, So here in America, we have 2 days, which would be Friday and Shabbos. So Parshas Naso is not till the following week. In Eretz Yisrael, they'll be a week ahead of us, because the Yom Tov Shavuos is only on Friday. Shabbos is already Yisrachat, so it'll be leading Parshas Naso. So they'll be 1 week ahead of us. So I guess it's really not a problem. It's really a problem the other way. If someone's here in America and goes to Eretz Yisrael after Shavuos, that's more plausible, especially if they're going to start opening up flights. So he's going to be a week behind. So potentially, we could talk about these halachas that, okay, he needs to make up. But we'll see soon. There are qualifications, and lav dafka, it applies to all these cases. But these are scenarios other than a pandemic where, you know, people could miss things. Now, what about a pandemic itself? That's what I want to get into. Is there, the most basic question, is there an obligation to make up Kriyas HaTorah in our situation? So the first step, just to analyze, is there's a beautiful, famous Chakira. It really stems from Reb Chaim Brisker. Just as an aside, I couldn't resist. My kids are very into this Ura Chinese auction. So Baruch Hashem, they give money to it, and they want to see who wins. So I saw this morning that who won Ura Chinese auction. A lot of people are smart. They don't want to put their names down. But in case they win, they'll want everyone cheering them. You know, my son had a friend of his who was 14 years old and won, you know, some big Uber prize last year. You know, boy, everyone found out about it. So I saw someone in Lakewood that's very smart. They decided to change their name for the Uber auction. I assume they changed their name just because it's too good to be true. This one of the Uber auction prizes, I think it was actually a car, was won by someone named Chaim Brisk. That has got to be a made-up name. You know, Brisk is not such a common last name. And even if your name is Brisk, I don't know how the father could name his kid Chaim. That's like way too much pressure. Why you put it on the kid? So I assume someone made up the name Chaim Brisk of Lakewood won the car. You know, Shkayach. But the real Reb Chaim Brisk is brought down in by his Talmud, Reb Baruch Ber, and Baruch Shmuel, Yevamos Simin Chaf Aleph. They bring down that the real Reb Chaim Brisk at Twitter, the real Reb Chaim Brisk. So he has a chakira. How do we understand Kriyas HaTorah? How do we understand it? Is Kriyas HaTorah an individual's chiyuv? Every single person, I have a chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. Now, practically, the only way I can fulfill that mitzvah is with a tzibur. It's when there are 10 people there. But really, mitzad myself, for my own, in terms of my responsibility, it's my own individual mitzvah. Just like, you know, shaking lulav. It's an individual chiyuv. It's one way to view it. The other way is no. It's not an individual chiyuv, but rather it's a tzibur chiyuv. It's a chiyuv on a tzibur. It's not individual's chiyuv that only comes about when there are 10 people. No. The 10 people, the tzibur is mechayiv in it. And therefore, that's a big nafkamina. The big nafkamina is what happens if one individual person missed. So if it's viewed as an individual's chiyuv, okay, you got to make it up. For example, Parsha Zachar. The Kuliyamal Plegi, Parsha Zachar, is an individual's chiyuv. Therefore, if somebody did not hear Parsha Zachar, he wasn't there, you know, sorry, you got to make it up. That's your personal chiyuv. There's no question about Parsha Zachar. other parshios in general is a shaila, is that an individual chiv? Or do we say, no, it's a communal chiv, it's a chiv on the tzibur. If you happen to be traveling to Eretz Yisrael, or coming back from Eretz Yisrael, whatever the situation is, and you missed a parsha, because some person was sick, a person needs yeshiva das, he needs a vacation to go away somewhere, missed lightning, Rav tells him to do it, kol kavod. In that case, if you say it's a tzibur chiyuv, then one would not have to make it up. Tzibur missed it. So, firstly, I would state that many poskim paskin that is a tzibur chiyuv. I remember a few years ago, I went with with the 12th grade to go to Eretz Yisrael right after Pesach for a week. And it was one of those weeks. It was right after Pesach. And Eretz Yisrael was a week ahead of us based on how Yom Tov Pesach ended. And the question, okay, we're going to miss the Parsha. So I remember we clearly got the Pesach that we paskin. It's a tzibur's chiyuv. One does not need to do that. What did we end up doing? Wasn't my fault. But what we ended up doing is we did hear laning and we did hear makeups, but I'll get to that at the end. But really, poskim definitely speak about that, look, it's a tzibur chiyuv, and if there ever was a situation that someone missed, you're okay. One would not have to make it up. This halacha here in Shulchan Aruch is talking about a tzibur that missed. Not an individual. You can't bring a raya from this halacha per se. This halacha is a tzibur that missed, about the tzibur making it up. But we're discussing now, what happens if I individually miss? So yeah, there may not be a chiv on you to make it up. That being said, there is recorded in history that there were different opinions of Gedolim in terms of this. And one of the things that really got me excited to do this topic, right away when this pandemic hit and I knew about this issue, so I figured, you know what, I'm sure all the rabbis are going to talk about this every shul, because it's not, yeah, everyone, really practically. So I don't need to give a share on the topic. But Hashem, we'll each shrub, we'll talk about it. But I see it's such a vast topic, and this particular Mar Malcolm that I came across got me excited. I figured most people don't even necessarily know about this, so I'll talk about this point. I found there's a sefer, Hilchos Hagro Minhagav. It's written by Moshe Sternbach, Gedolei Poskim in Eretz Yisrael, who traces his lineage back to the Gra. Very into the Gra. So he has this whole nice little sefer, talks about the Gra's minhagim and halachos, different halachos the Gra did. And he explains them, goes through them, greater depth. So I put it on top of the sheets. Listen to what he writes. Rabbeinu, the Gra, kishe lo shama kriyas haTorah, kishe hayu beis hasohar. When the Gra didn't hear kriyas haTorah because he was in jail, that he was machmer on all the parshios that he missed to make them up. He put some brackets over here that even the yachid should come to hear Kriyas Torah even Mondays and Thursdays. Seems he didn't just make up Shabbosim, he even made Mondays and Thursdays. That we clearly see the Bar Halacha. Doesn't possible like that, okay. But the Gra is the Gra. And he here at Gitzad. Remember he mentioned before the Ramosha also looked to do something for that. So this stuff got me interested. The Gra was in jail. What was that about? So I can remember something. But quickly researched it. Seems the Gra was put into jail twice. Different things. people framed him, set him up, Moser on him. And the Gra spent a couple times in jail. Seems there's even some Maisa. I get it fully, but like the Gra was like was set up pretty well in jail, or just was sitting and learning, and Talmidim were begging him to get out, and they figured with the Gra's powers he could get out quite easily. And his response back was, you know, Baruch Hashem, right now everything's okay, and you know, we'll see how this plays out. And Talmidim were able to convince him that the situation was dangerous, and so the Gra was misbal, and the next day he got out. But he did spend time in jail, and with two tekufas in his lifetime, and it seems recorded that the Gra did make up the parashios. You also have, I found, you know, the Ida Kisa, that same sefer that talks about the Gra, I'm not sure fully why, but it also talks about the Arizal. And it seems the Arizal was the opposite way, is that he missed parashios and he dafka did not make them up. So, definitely was two approaches amongst different gedolim of the ages. I saw, interesting, it seems like a stira what the Chazon Ish held. There's one sefer that says that the Chazon Ish, Dirshu brings this in the Aris, that the Chazon Ish went very far to hear Kriyas Torah. Okay. Chaim Kanievsky, there's a sefer Orchos Rabbeinu about his father as a stipler, and Chaim Kanievsky is a source inside the sefer that his father also, the stipler, went very far to go and hear Kriyas Torah, except when the Chazon Ish heard that he did this, he told him, hey, there's no Chiyuv Kriyas Torah in the Yachid, like we spoke out before, Tzibur's Chiyuv, and you don't have to do this. Now, this is a little funny. Why is the Chazon Ish telling that to the discipler if he himself, according to the other one, was Machmer? You know, sometimes you have situations where a Rav personally does something himself, but for the Tzibur, he allows a more basic standard. You know, he himself is being Machmer. But it's a little hard to say over here because it's not just the regular person in the Tzibur, this is the stipler who was up there as one of the Gedolim with the Chazon Ish. Could be, you know, these things are so hard to understand. If you know the specifics, it could be the disciple who was older, and maybe that's why the Chazon Ish was discouraging him from doing it. But either way, not exactly clear what the Chazon Ish did, but you do find people, Gedolim, on both sides of the spectrum, would they invest how far they would go to make up, even though there's no Chiyuv. Now, this is all in general cases. In our particular case with the pandemic, l'chora, it's even more poshut that there's no chiv. Not just because of the general idea that the chiv is on a tzibur, not an individual. And, okay, so one might argue, okay, it makes it worse maybe, because the tzibur here all missed. But this I also saw from multiple poskim, heard the Farish Ron Bozek. I found the Shlomo Zalman in, says this in the Halicha Shlomo and Tfila, Perek Yudbeis, Sivkat and Tess, that the Shulchan Aruch is talking in a case where you had together a whole tzibur, you had a whole minion, and unfortunately, they had no Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah was possible, there was no Kriyas Torah that morning for the minion. But our cases of the pandemic are where you don't have a safe, you don't have a minion at all. It's not you have a minion and you're missing a Sefer Torah. You don't have a minion. So if you don't have a minion, there's no chiyuv. The chiyuv begins, the chiyuv of Kriyas Torah begins when you have a tzibur, when you have a minion. If there's no minion, and really, some even both saw them. Sai, if you're Yachid, Sai, Chiyav Yachid, Sai, Chiyav Tzibur. If there's no minion, There's nothing to talk about. There's no that's not where this Tashlumim is talking about. Instead of making up is. Rav Shlomo Zalman did over there recommend, look, if you missed it, you can't do it. So at least, you know, once you try to read with the Chumash, and that is the proper approach, you know, that the best of a person's ability, they should go through the Parsha, you know, with the Chumash. You know, we have to realize that they're going to be, you know, unfortunately, when it's one thing when all the shuls are closed and everyone's in this together. You know, for the foreseeable future, it's, and I think this is an area which people aren't focusing enough on. Even when shuls reopen across the board, but they're not really necessarily going to be able to service a lot of older people who the correct thing is for not to leave their homes. And if there, it's one thing, all of us being home, it's a lonely and disheartening feeling. It's even more lonely and disheartening when there are other people who are going about their lives as normal and we're still stuck in our homes. So this thing could go on for quite a while. We hope not. But we hope the warp speed helps and works. But the Maisa, we should recognize that the practical halacha, okay, there's no chiyuv. I'm missing Kriyas HaTorah, I'm not going to need to make it up. I'll pi halacha in these situations. You know, okay, there's some idea, Shlomo Zalman says, if one's able to read it from a Chumash. This way also, if you do something like that, you feel connected, you feel that you are doing something. Now, that being said, that there's no chiv. I don't know that anyone argues and thinks there is a chiv. But Pashas, what all I saw, no one says there is a chiyuv here. Oh, my, there's some chumras that different, you know, maybe over the ages tried to do. There are communities, there are shuls, there are people that are being machmer, making up. Make up. I happen to see, you know, there's Kananahara. There's a lot of tshuvas out there with all these major shilas about Corona. Of my perusal of different svarim you can get your hands on, I found there are currently two tremendous collections of tshuvas, and I think there's another one coming out soon. The two big collections you could find, Rav Asher Weiss from Eretz Yisrael has tremendous amount of tshuvas. Someone sent me one, I couldn't find exactly the one for this Shiloh. But he has a lot of tshuvas on this. And Herschel Schefter, Posek of Reitz, tremendous, tremendous amount of so many Shilohs he has. Daniel Asher Kleinman, I believe, is coming out with a Sefer also of Psakim, based on Shmuel Kamenetsky. But I saw this area in particular. Herschel Schefter has a nice tshuva. It's in Hebrew, and it's somewhat summarized. It's not really a full summary, but somewhat summarized, somewhat written over, also in English. And in that tshuva, he goes to length to, he does talk about the tzad of potentially being machmer and making up. And he had another interesting chap of why make up. He was nervous. He felt bad for the bar mitzvah bacher who missed his parsha. And he even goes through studim that one doesn't have to make up all the parshas in 1 week. I'll talk about it momentarily. It might even be better not to make them all up in 1 week. And he had an interesting idea of doing the reverse. If you're making up another week, so you're not doing a Keseder anymore. So he has Makaros how to do this, that one would learn the regular parsha, and for Mafter would make up a parsha that one missed. And thus came up with a chab that the bar mitzvah bacher could lay Mafter the parsha that he missed. So much so, halacha is when you have double parshas, you lay that week's parsha and a makeup parsha, the haftorah usually follows the second parsha, the Mafter. So thus, the bar mitzvah boy not only would lane that week's parsha, but also would lane, potentially could lane his haftorah. You know, I guess that obviously would mean that we would be missing out the haftorah normally that week's parsha, but this is a heter that if Elmer Gershon Shachter says, and you might be in a shul where you see someone doing that, now you know why. What's it based on? Now, in general, so far we've set up that in our situation, there seemingly is no chiyuv whatsoever to make up the parsha. In general, we paskin, it's a tzibur's chiyuv, not a yachid, so you, a yachid, who missed it, doesn't have any obligation to make it up. And the tzibur itself also, in this case, there is no tzibur. The tzibur missed it. The tzibur wasn't there. It didn't exist. And who then, if you, you happen to have a block minion, they don't have a Sefer Torah, you know, of Dafka, there was any din of a tzibur and any obligation on making up, not pashat. But there are those that want to be machmer, and there is halachic precedent for chumras in this area. So there is some chumras in the area that people try to make it up. However, I'd like to point out that there are three potential complications in making up parshas. Three potential issues why it's tricky, or when it's tricky, to make up parshas. Let me go through each one. The first, I call, like to share his name, the parsha pileup. The Shulchan Aruch is talking about a case of where it was missed one parsha. So Shulchan Aruch says, you missed that one parsha, following week, you can make it up. We talked out, you can make up even that Shabbos by Mincha, fine. But what happens if there are multiple parshios missed, like we have in our situation? So Chafetz Chaim, Mishnah Berurah of Katan Vav brings out a machlokas about this. The Chafetz Chaim says, firstly, Yesh Omrim, that you only make up last week's parsha, nothing else. The other Yesh Yomim brings that you could do all the parshios. However, right, two shitas. One shita is you only make up, and I'll say it even stronger, you are only allowed to make up last week's parsha, but nothing more than that. So in our type of situation where there's parsha pile up, the first opinion holds you don't make up beyond 1 week's worth. The second opinion says, no, you can make up all the parshios. Chafetz Chaim brings both of those opinions. But over here, when we bear our gramash with the sphere like Adasa Rishona, Pashtus, reading the Mishnah Berurah, he brings the Gra, and he ends off with the Gra. Sounds like the Chafetz Chaim is saying, hey, we paskin the first way, you only make up one parsha. First thing off the book, Beferish and Mishnah Berurah, Sefkat Vav. Now, what's the reasoning? Why would it be that one would only make up one parsha? Why not do more? So it's interesting, it's Be'er Agra, it's actually on the sheets, it's also this based on the Shal Shuvah's Maharam Mintz, that he says the idea of making up parshas, very interesting idea, is similar to making up Shemona Esrei, making up Tefillah. Say Chas Hashem, a person is sick, and not feeling well in the morning, doesn't daven Shacharis. So he knows the halacha of Shulchan Aruch that one can make up a Tefillah of Tashlumin. He would daven two Shemona Esreis, come Mincha. And assuming the person did not blatantly, wasn't bemazed that one missed it, you make these things up. So too, that's pshat in Kriyas HaTorah. If one missed Kriyas HaTorah, then one makes it up, just like you make up davening. But here's the step. By davening, you could only make up the last tefillah. Once it's beyond the last tefillah, you can't make that up. There's only room for one. There's no double makeups. So Zok the Chafetz Chaim in Mishabura, based on Skra, Ramins, is that subshat in making up parshas. It's Tashlumin. He even says that earlier, that it would only apply to communities that missed the parsha of the onus. But if there was some, they deliberately decided to skip parsha that week, you know, then not pashat. In that case, you wouldn't do tashlumin. So that's the first idea, which already sets foot that it's not pashat to make up more than last week's parsha. First step, based on the Mishnah Berurah. The second step, double parshios. The Chafetz Chaim brings, and Sifkat and Zayin, also based, we'll see, the Maharam Mintz. But what happens if one of the weeks, okay, either this week, the current week, or last week, the week that I missed, is a double parsha? So come out, okay, we take the opinion of the last Mishnah we just did, we only make up 1 week's worth of parshas, only the week before. But what happens if the week before was a double parsha? Or this week now is a double parsha? Zok Maharam Mintz, in such a case, one does not make it up. You can't make up double parshios. You could only lay in, at best, two parshios a week. There's no room for three. So therefore, if this week or last week is a double parsha, and now if you would make up, you would have to lay in three, it doesn't work. There are those who say, Yesh Omrim, that no, you can make up more. But again, it's another machlokas, or other tzadim. And the Chafetz Chaim also writes that the Farish, that one would not be able to say, okay, you know, last week was Bahar B'chukosa, okay, well, we'll just do B'chukosa this week. You can't do that. You can't, ain't takana l'chatzayin, you can't do half a chiev. Last week's chiev was Bahar B'chukosa, you can't just do, there's no partial credit. It doesn't work that way. So yet again, not only is there the first issue of a pile up that one may not be able to go beyond last week's parsha, you can't just go through a few months worth to make up. Additionally, there is a machlokes, what happens by double parshios? And there's a dea that one is not allowed to lay more than three times that week. You can't do more than three parshios. I saw over here the Aruch HaShulchan challenges that and says, why not? Who may have such roles? No such thing. Okay. Ma'aseh Mishnah Berurah does bring it down, and he does not challenge it. So that is a potential second complication, especially if you're making it up this past week. So if you're making up parshas by Midbar, that would be the reason. It's very interesting. Saul of a shul that was laning a choice on the smorgasbord was either three parshios or 13 parshios. I'll take the three, right? Okay, you have a choice, one or two, or three or 13. So the reasoning behind it, it was already somewhat clear, right? That those who are learning the 13, okay, is taking the opinion that you can make up as many parshios as you want. Those doing, what's the reason to break it down to three? I remember I first, when Talmidim lived in Muncie, they started the Minyanim, who knows when. And he told me, oh, yeah, yeah, we had Minyanim. So, okay, how many parshas they lay in? He came up with like, has been laying 10, this, like, why don't you break it down more differently? So you see, right, you don't just break it up, you know, instead of splitting 13, you know, 7 and 6, they, you know, they could do it differently. Right, you see someone laying in 3. Where does the 3 come from? So you see, the 3 would be this week's parsha with last week's laying. Except, 3 doesn't work, according to the Chafetz Chaim, according to this tzad that the Chafetz Chaim is bringing here in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, the Shulchan argues, so there would be room for some of the Paskin 13 or 3, but, and the 3 would be just going back to try to be yotzei the shita of just doing the last week's laning, but again, not pashat. And there's a third factor. The third factor is also brought in the Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Zion, and that is what I call the safer crossover. How do we do these lanings? How do you lane normally by a double parsha? So you split the laning really in half. The first three aliyos are in the first parsha. The next three aliyos, then you have three aliyos also in the second parsha. And then the fourth aliyah, Revi, is the guy in between. That's the guy who gets both parshiyos, right? Look in the Chumash, okay, sometimes you have full sophos, they add more to the end, but Lamaisa, the guy who's getting Revi, is the bridge. He's getting part of the first parsha, part of the second parsha. Zakt, the Mishnah Berurah, once again, one is not allowed to bridge two svarim together. You can't have an aliyah in Sefer Vayikra and also Sefer Bamidbar. It doesn't matter how much you pay for that aliyah. You can't double dip. You can't get both. You can't do that crossover. You can't travel like that. It doesn't work. And thus, that would mean that you can't make up a parsha missed where it was from another sefer. So this is a big time situation, because that means anyone who was trying, who was making up this past Shabbos, you're trying to make up a midbar, you're trying to make up a harpa chukosai with a midbar. So then you can't do that. Forget about the fact that it's three parshas. Put that aside. It's another problem. It's also the fact that you're bridging together two chumashim. Once again, I did find in this point too that the Aruch HaShulchan does argue. But yet again, the Mishnah Berurah does bring this down quite clearly. And I'll tell you the observation that I had, that I heard from a posek on this. Very interesting observation. So it comes out, if one would, in general, okay, there might be a chumrah that some do to make up lost parshios, but there are three qualifications we see here in the Mishnah Berurah that would apply in our particular situation. Now, I'm talking this past week. Right? If we want to talk about Bamidbar and Naso, that might be different. Right? They're both within one sefer, it's only making up one parsha, okay? So the shuls that follow the RCA guidelines, parshas Naso, there's something to talk about. Maybe one should also lean Bamidbar. We'll see. I see someone's hitting me with questions. They looked ahead in the calendar. You know, you can tell this guy's a gabbai. Right? You know, Chukas Pollock. Okay. Okay, we'll talk about it. Gosh, you don't think you're going to open until that week? Shh. Hopefully they'll open in your neighborhood before that. But no, that's a show. Let me see. But the Maisa, so again, the Chazar over there, these three issues. Number one, in general, do we make up multiple partials or just the last week? Number two, do we make up double partials? Not possible to lay three partials in one Shabbos. And thirdly, that one doesn't, another machlokas, does one make up when you have to do a crossover between two svarim, between Sefer Vayikra and Sefer Bamidbar? Technically, it can be Vayakub Kude into, you know, Vayikra, Shmos into Vayikra, who knows? So, I heard from a posek, he said he possibly did not understand why people halachically were trying to be machmer and make up these parshios. He said a very simple Cheshbon. He says, look, you see this whole thing is a chumra ba'alma to make up. So okay, if you're in a regular situation, you miss by midbar, and you want to make it up next week in Parsha Naso, okay, fine. There's potentially room to be machmer. But this past week, which is across America, is probably the biggest week so far for reopening. A lot of people reopened. A lot of shuls reopened. So in terms of making up, so you're going to make something up. According, there are, the Rav was quoting two potential issues. I found the third. There are three potential issues that you might be doing the wrong thing. Some people say you'll make up more than last week's Parsha, so there's no need to make up 13. Some say you don't make up double Parshios, you can't lean three. And some say you can't do it when it's between two Sfarim. So why potentially do something wrong on two or three counts just to be machmer? It's a very important thing, and I think this is in general important to halacha, that you have to have, and this is sometimes the difference between the levels of poskim. You know, a poskim is not somebody who just knows halacha, I know some halachas, you know. You have to balance, you have to see clearly the full picture. Psak halacha is not just how much bekiyas you have, and you know shitas. Ooh, I want to be yotzei that shita. It's weighing the whole picture and analyzing with Svara Yishara and Lomdis. Does this make sense? What am I gaining? I'm being machmer over here. I'm potentially doing something wrong according to two or three poskim over here. The Chavetz Chaim seems to come out like. Not so simple. You have to weigh the full picture. I remember this personal story. So we had to, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, it goes back 6 years ago. And we missed the parasha. So okay, so we wanted to be machmer. So we found out there was a place, they were having a minyan, fine. So I don't remember, it could be even machmer ready, it could be the situation was, but it was already a double parasha situation. So really even that is not pashut, right? Learning three parashas. Yeah, I just went to the minyan, I wasn't making the bracha. Did I get on Aliyah? I don't remember. Could be I got on Aliyah. But so you went to some place where they were having a makeup minion. So they decided, okay, they're making up, you know, for people who just came from Eretz Yisrael. But the thing was, there's a Shabbos right after Pesach also. So there are some people who miss really two parshios. So they decided, you know what, we'll just lay four, two, three, four. What difference does it make? If you go see clearly in halacha, there is a big difference between two, three, and four. Not just the matter of piling on parshas. It's not so simple. And I'll just add one other point, and which I think also poskim are taking into account with these shaylos, is really what, if Baruch Hashem, we do have this chos to be back in the shul, we have to realize this is a new normal, it's not the same as before, and there still is quite dangerous germs that potentially could be spread. And that's why a lot of shuls are very much streamlining their davening. They're asking people to only come to shul for baruchu and to leave immediately after, and to make shorter, even to potentially even speed up the time of davening, to make shorter times when people are together for davening. And really this whole concept, I heard this, I was on a conference call with doctors, and really the whole concept of laying multiple parshas, which would take a significant amount of time. I don't care how fast the Balkari is to read 13 parashios. I spoke to somebody a few weeks ago, told me he heard like 10 parashios that week. So somebody asked him, you pay attention to them? He's like, I fell asleep somewhere in between. Like, you know, stop, it's hard to hear, to focus on and hear them all. But Kol Shekein, if it's a more exposure to health, that's also part of the balance of a posik. And seeing the whole situation, and you have to weigh the pros and the cons, the gains and the potential losses, and like all things, you need a posik to really examine, you know, the correct course for each individual community. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Wish everyone a wonderful week. Thank you all for coming, and I appreciate seeing everybody in whatever form we can. Kol tov and. have a good Yontif. One announcement I would make is I hope to give a share next Sunday, but I would like to give out the Mar Makomos earlier in the week. This way, if people would like to prepare over Yontif of Shavuos, they'll have it. Perhaps I'll add some extra Mar Makomos, and the Bez Hashem, this way, hopefully we could all gain as much as we can from definitely a new type of Shavuos that we've been used to. Okay, have a good Yontif.